All right. Well, good morning, church. Busy day, so we're going to jump right in. We are going to be in John chapter 15 this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in John 15 and Ephesians 2. If you didn't bring your Bibles, that's okay. And we've got digital sermon notes for you as well. So that's the other thing you'll need is a bulletin. If you didn't grab one of these when you come in, you can do the same thing you did with the giving. Open up the camera app on your phone. Scan that QR code. It takes you to our digital bulletin. So much stuff there. Great resource. But we just believe that worship is about participation. So we don't come and just hear. We want to come and participate. We're going to take notes. We're going to go home and talk about it. We actually give you guys every week, if you look at the back of your bulletin, we give you discussion questions to go home and talk about what you've heard. That's how we're changed, is by continuing to kind of think about it and work through it. And so I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we're going to jump in. Father, thank you for loving us and allowing us to be here. Holy Spirit, we just recognize your role in our life and in the life of our church. You are our teacher and our guide. You're a gift from Jesus himself. And so Holy Spirit, come and take your place in our pulpit and teach us about Jesus from the inside out. Exalt him in a way that maybe he hasn't been exalted in our lives before, that we might see our need for him clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So guys, we've been learning about the benefits of abiding in Christ. It's what this whole series is about. And that term abiding, don't let it confuse you. What it means is that we are maintaining a close personal relationship with Jesus. That's what abiding means. And y'all, a relationship is very different from religion. A relationship with Jesus is very different from Christian routines or practices or certain rituals. I mean, it's radically different. And it's only through that kind of relationship, that close intimacy where we stay in constant communication with Jesus, that the Bible says we will produce this spiritual fruit. And so that's what we've been studying. And so we've talked about the first two signs that we're doing this, right? The first two fruits of the Spirit, which is love and joy. This morning, we're going to talk about the peace of God. And to kind of refresh your minds and your hearts, I just want to read from John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, Jesus is speaking. This is kind of the night that he is arrested, so it's kind of a big deal. This is his last time of intimate teaching with his followers, and this is what he says. He says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me." And then he says this in verse 5. I'll put it on the screen. It's one of our foundational verses for the whole series, John 15, 5. "I'm the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me." Our other foundational verse for this is in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, where Paul lists this fruit of the Spirit. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." It'll go on, self-control. We'll get to verse 23. We're going to work through all of them, but that's a big deal. And so, again, we've talked about love. We've talked about joy. And then last week, we were actually introduced to this concept of peace when we went back to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, here's what we read. This, again, remember, guys, that the message last week is Jesus is announcing to his disciples, "I'm leaving. I am going to the Father." They're kind of freaking out. He says it three times in a row in John 14, "I am leaving, I am leaving, I am leaving." But he's like, "Don't freak out, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm sending you a counselor." We get to John 16, we find out it's the Holy Spirit. But this is part of his leaving. Again, in John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." And that peace, guys, that is that third sign that we are indeed abiding in Christ. That is that third spiritual fruit. And we talked about this from week one. I think we all have this desire to live lives that matter, to live lives of eternal significance, where we're spending our time on earth doing stuff that's going to last for eternity, right? And that's storing up treasure in heaven, this fruit that will last. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that fruit of peace. I've got four things to share, so we got to book it, but I'm going to move quick, all right? So write fast or type fast, you know, text fast. That's what it is. It's really texting when you take notes on your phone. Here we go. So four things. Here's the first. I want you to know that first and foremost, that God is the God of peace, right? That God is the God of peace. The Apostle Paul's really good at ending his letters with kind of a prayer for the people. One of his favorite phrases as he ends his epistles is this. In Thessalonians, I'll just give you one example. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Paul uses this phrase again and again and again to almost every church he writes to. May the God of peace, right? May the God of peace. The author of Hebrews uses it too, right? This is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And guys, the point is just simple. This is who God is. This is who God is. God is a God of peace. It's not just something he wants. It's not just something he hopes. It is in his DNA, in his character, which is why our second point, why he sends Jesus on our behalf, okay? Second thing I want to share with you guys is that this Jesus came to foster peace in our vertical relationship with God. He came to foster peace in our vertical relationship with God and in our horizontal relationships with one another. So kind of think about the cross, right? You see the vertical, you see the horizontal. Jesus came to die on the cross. In doing that, he fostered peace between us and God and peace between us and our fellow man. Again, if you have your Bibles, now in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 8 and just read a little bit here. I'm going to read from 8 to 16. And the Word of God says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift," right? All this spiritual fruit, we can't produce it. That's what Jesus says. Like, you can't do this on your own, but if you remain in me, you can have this stuff, right? So it's not from works so that nobody can boast. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Verse 11, "So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those that called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and express in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near." Two things I want to highlight here. First, verse 14 and 15. It says, "For he is our peace," right? He's our peace. And then Paul goes on to talk about two things. The first he talks about is that he made of no effect the law consisting of commands expressed in regulations. So when he talks about tearing down this wall of hostility, there are really a couple. So in the temple, there was this dividing wall between people. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the temple itself, there was a great curtain that stood like only the high priest could go back there. Like nobody had access to God. And one of the reasons for that was because of our sin, right? And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. That one of the things that Jesus did is he made of no effect the law, okay? And he did that by living the law perfectly that we couldn't. Y'all, here's what the Bible says. You know, we read Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace that we're saved. And we often think about that. What does it take to be saved? Well, I've got to be good. I can't be good enough for God. There's no work I can do, so I need Jesus. And that's true. But more than just God making you holy, at some point, Jesus had to do a work on your behalf. Because these commands, y'all, we've all broken them. That's what sin is. And when we break those commands, what sin is it means that we've rebelled against the good rule of God. We've rebelled. And the Bible says, as such, that we're actually his enemies. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life?" And that's what it's talking about. That Jesus did away with the commands. All the commands did was prove that we were guilty. We needed a way to be right with God. And so Jesus fulfilled the law. On the cross, he spoke these words, "It is finished." And grace came. Man, isn't grace better than trying to do it all on your own and by yourself? Amen? Grace is so much better. And so Jesus came to do away with that. But he didn't just come to make peace between us and God. He didn't just take us from enemies to where we could now have access to God, be at peace with God. He also created peace with one another, so that we could have peace with one another. And so again, notice Ephesians 2, 14, 15, I'll go 15, 16, let's do that. He made of no effect the law consisting of commands expressed in regulations, so that he might in himself create one new man out of the two. One new man out of the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God. What is that talking about? Well, guys, it's talking about the Jews that were considered near to God because they knew about God, but they too had rejected God, and the Gentiles who were considered far away from God because they knew nothing about God. And the Bible says that Jesus came to reconcile both parties to God because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need God. We all need Jesus. And so what Jesus did, y'all, in the temple, they had all these courts. They had these walls. And so they had this court for the Jews. And then outside, there was this far away from the temple, there was the Gentiles were allowed to come in this little court. They were so far away, they were excluded. And the Bible says, man, Jesus destroyed that too. Not only did he destroy the barriers that stood between us and God by fulfilling the law and all of its commands, by making it nothing, by finishing it himself for us because we couldn't, but he also destroyed all of the things that divide man. And so y'all, I'm just going to say this to you. If you are walking and living and breathing and you are a follower of Jesus and yet you are constantly at war with other people, it's a problem. It's a problem. Jesus came to destroy the walls of hostility, all right, so that we might live at peace with one another. It's a big deal. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is that Jesus gives us his peace, right? So God is peace. Jesus came to make peace between us and God because God is peace. The third thing you need to know is that when Jesus left, he literally gave us his peace. That was the conversation that we looked at last week. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the point. I don't want to belabor it. But again, this is not something we can do on our own, right? It is by grace that you're saved. The same way, like, we can't produce the love of God. We can't produce the joy of God. We can't produce the peace of God. There is no amount of work on your own that you can do. Now listen, you can have like a sliver of what we might consider worldly peace. But you know what that peace is based on? It's like the other two. It's like love and joy. It's all based on circumstance, right? Anybody have their joy tested this week after we preached on it last week? I did. Like, dude, for like out the gate, I finished Sunday and then bam, and I was in it. And it was like God was going, hey, dude, you going to have joy? Are you going to have joy? Are you going to understand that it's not about circumstances? I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to finish this series, Lord. All right? Peace. It's not based on circumstances. And so, y'all, when Jesus is about to leave, again, we talked about this last week, John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That's the only way we get the peace of God is from God. All of the spiritual fruit, all of what we're going to talk about, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, there's not some religious practice you can go through. There's not some just routine. There's not some list of, well, check, check, check. Well, I did that. Now I get the peace of God. Like, that is not how it works. We only get it through this relationship with Jesus. It just flows out of him and into us. And it's hard for the world to understand. It's hard to explain. So this is what we're talking about. So three things. Again, God is the God of peace. Two, Jesus came to foster peace in our vertical relationship with God, our horizontal relationships with one another. Number three, Jesus gives us his peace. One final thing I want to share with you this morning is that Jesus expects us to remain in him and be peacemakers. Jesus expects us to remain in him and be peacemakers. So this expectation of us to remain in him, I don't know, I've spoken it about 40 times. We've put this verse on the screen in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I don't know, 20 plus times. It's John 15, 5, we've already read it this morning. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. That word remain, in John 15, the first 17 verses, the word remain appears 11 times. 11 times. Y'all, in Greek, there is no exclamation point. There's no way to go, hey, important word. So they just repeat it. And they repeated it 11 times. Remain, 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 remain. What am I supposed to do? Remain, remain, remain. Huh, what was that thing? Remain, remain. Like, just like, remain. You got to do it. This is the point. It's about a relationship, y'all. It's not about ritual. It's not about routine. It is about a relationship with me. Remain in me, he says. Remain in me, he says. Remain in me, he says. That's what it's all about. And if we do that, the result of that remaining relationship is that we bear fruit, spiritual fruit. The word fruit appears 8 times in those same 17 verses. Again, what happens when I do this remaining thing, Jesus? You'll bear fruit for me. What happens? You'll bear fruit for me. What kind of fruit? We'll talk about that in a little while. But you'll bear fruit for me. over and over and over again, and it's this emphasis. So this expectation that we will remain in him, and that if we do, we will produce this spiritual fruit. And one of this spiritual fruits is peace. Is peace. And y'all, with all of this fruit, Jesus expects that as we receive it from him, that we will be a channel, not a cistern. Do you know the difference between the two of those? Right? So anybody know, like, who does not know what a cistern is? It's cool. Let's throw it up there. I'm not so sure what a cistern is. Okay, so when it comes to water, a cistern basically is a big hole in the ground that it doesn't really have an inlet and it doesn't really have an exit. It's just like if you were big, like dig a big square in your backyard and it just rained and it would fill up. And if you live in this black land, it'll stay that way for a while, right? But over time, even though you could probably drink from that at first, it'd be pretty fresh. Over time, that stuff will spoil. And so cisterns were known in the Old Testament, even though they had them. And you know, a lot of this is desert era. You'd get to a cistern like, oh, I'm so thirsty. And you would find that an animal had died in there, right? Are you drinking that water? Guess you're boiling it first, right? Cistern's not life-giving, okay? But a channel is more like something is flowing through it. And when it comes spiritually speaking, y'all, we are called to be channels. We're supposed to receive from God, and we're supposed to share that with others. So the love of God, we receive the love of God, we should love others. That's why the Bible says the second greatest command after loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Right? We should be channels of love. The same thing with joy, right? When we receive the joy of the Lord, we should share it. We should be joyous people. Right? We should be joy bringers, and the same is true with the peace of God. In fact, Jesus kind of says this throughout his ministry, his greatest sermon, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. In Romans 12:18, which I don't have on the screen, I realized that last night, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Colossians 3:15 says this, it says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. So I want to make a little confession to you this morning. Here's what I want to do. I want to preach a second sermon right here in the middle of the first sermon on how to be a peacemaker. That's what I want, because y'all, we need it. I love you of all the fruits of the Spirit, and we stink at sharing the love of Christ, by the way. So let's just start with the first one. We ain't good at that, okay? But when it comes to being peacemakers, I love you guys. Like, we stink. We do. Man, we are not peacemakers. We are dividers. Like, we get caught up in every earthly thing that brings division, and we make that the main thing. Now, the main thing should be Jesus, should be the love of Jesus, should be what Jesus has done for us on the cross, should be that, like, hey, through Jesus Christ, God's reconciling the whole world to himself. Like, that should be what our lives are about. But we make our lives about all the other stuff, all the religious stuff instead of the relationship stuff. And man, people are so turned off when it comes to God because of that stuff. So I love you, so I'm going to say this in the kindest counseling words I could ever say. Are you ready? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Get off of social media. If you're tempted to just complain and make division, stop it. Stop it. Shut your mouth. Pray first. Say, God, is there something wrong in me? His answer will be yes. And then leave it. Let it go. Stop it. Right? We're called to be peacemakers. And so while I want to dive headfirst into this and give you this, we decided this week to kind of make a decision, because we had four baptisms. So here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to push all this information to our daily devotions. Okay, so you can access our daily devotions in a couple of ways. If you have the FBCE app on your phone, you pull it up, you click under sermons, you'll see sermon notes, and then it says, I think it says weekly devotions on there, but it's five devotions for the week. It's this daily devotion, and we're going to walk you through what it means to be a peacemaker, biblically speaking, how to do it. They are really, really good. They're very intentional this week. So I just want to tell you, now, if you don't have the app, it's cool. At the end of the service, we're going to throw up a QR code for our announcements. That QR code takes you to our website, fbcelgin.org, and it's going to take you to our events page. On that events page, y'all, it literally says, download our daily devotions. You click on it. You can have access to it every week. This is just our gift to you. It's always based on the sermon. It's to help you take it deeper. And so we're going to do it there. But I do want to say two things about what this means, just in general terms. So what does it mean to be a peacemaker? I would say two things. Number one, it means that we share the gospel with others. Okay? Being a peacemaker is about sharing the gospel with others, right? Because the first way that Jesus came to make peace was between us and God. And he's like, hey, you need to be about this. This isn't hard. This is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is our mission, y'all. Our mission in life is to do this thing. And y'all, I think we get it kind of like mixed up. Some people think, well, I'm not equipped for this, or I can't do this. And so, like 2 months ago, I shared three questions that you should ask yourself weekly, or daily. Maybe it's daily. So here it is. Here's the three questions. Ask yourself weekly. There you go. So three questions I think help us think about this, because I think doing this, I think sharing the gospel with others comes in phases, okay? So I don't expect you to be baptized on day one and to do the third point there, right? I don't expect that. So here's how it works. Have I invited anyone to church this week? That's the most basic form of evangelism. Just to say, hey man, you should come to church with me. Like this is what some of the disciples did. Andrew, we don't have a copy of a sermon from Andrew, but we constantly find Andrew just bringing people to Jesus. Hey Jesus, here's my brother Peter, he's a dummy. And then Peter becomes the rock of the church. And then there's this crowd of 5,000, just men, we didn't count women and children back then. So like 20,000 people, and like we don't have enough food to feed them. Here comes Andrew. Oh, did you say something about food? Well, I found one kid whose mom packed him a sack lunch. And Jesus is like, cool, I'll take that sack lunch. I'll feed 20,000 people, no problem, right? And so the first thing we can do is we can all be an Andrew. Second, guys, we can all, no, go back to that one. Go back, we're just going through this. There we go. We can all share a God story with somebody this week, right? Have I just told somebody this week what God's doing in my life, right? I mean, you guys all got this, man, I got baptized last week. Boy, that's an easy story to share, right? Man, you should come. So we've got that. But man, when we're reading the word, when God shows up, when he reveals his blessing to us, when he speaks to our hearts, any of those things, just share that with somebody. And then third, have I actually shared the gospel with somebody this week, right? And that's kind of our third level, man. Have I shared with somebody this week that God loves them and has a plan for their life, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that Jesus came because of that sin, that we don't have to try to earn our way to God. None of us can do that. Man, that's exhausting. But Jesus did for us what we couldn't do while we were still sinners. Christ died for our sins. And anyone who believes in him can be saved. Anyone! That's a big word, right? It's a big word. We just share the gospel with people. So these are things we could ask ourselves every week. So the first way that we're peacemakers, y'all, is sharing the gospel. The second way that we're peacemakers is by resolving conflict in a biblical manner. That's what it means to be a peacemaker, resolving conflict in a biblical manner. That's the next one, guys. There we go. All right, resolving conflict in a biblical manner. So I'm going to say this to you. Again, we're doing this whole series because we don't always walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the flesh, we respond to conflict in a fleshly way, and it's usually one of two. Ready? Fight or flight. Like, that's how we do it. So we either fight, and we kind of argue with people, we blame others, or we run away from it. We kind of ignore conflict. We think that's loving, by the way. Oh, no, I just ignore it, or I run away from it. There's no conflict here. And we just act like everything's okay. Neither one of those is really a biblical response. And so this week, when you get to those devotions, we're going to talk about how to do that biblically, right? When somebody really offends me, I first have to ask, is this something worth being offended over, right? I mean, maybe it's not. Like, listen, we're all sinners, right? I am. I think you guys are, right? Are we in the same boat? Just me? Okay, we can swap. Tag, I'm tired already. We're all sinners, right? And so sometimes it's like somebody may hurt our feelings, but it's like we may have taken it the wrong way, right? Because I'm a sinner too. And so sometimes I just ignore it and be like, man, no, that's cool. And it's kind of this automatic, no, I brush that aside. I already forgive them. Sometimes it sticks with us though, and it's a little harder. And so what do I do then? If I'm going to approach a brother in love, the first thing I have to do is examine my own life. The Bible says that first thing I have to do is look in my own eye before I point out a speck in my brother's eye. Maybe I've got a huge log in mine. And so I've got to go, God, help me examine my heart. What's in my life, right? And then eventually I'm going to have this loving conversation with them. I'm going to confess my own shortcomings. I'm going to talk about how maybe my feelings were hurt in that. And ultimately the goal is hopefully forgiveness and that we're reconnected together, right? So that's the goal. So that whole process, again, is in depth this week in our daily devotion. So I just want to encourage you. So with all that in mind, because we got some other big stuff this morning we want to talk about, I want to give you some application. Things that we should do just because we've heard about this piece of God. And first and foremost, we've said it every week, is receive Jesus, receive Jesus, receive Jesus. This whole series is about spiritual fruit. Y'all, you cannot have spiritual fruit. You cannot produce spiritual fruit without being born of the Spirit of God. This is the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. This is the testimony, by the way. Y'all didn't hear it. They didn't quote John 3, but all of these guys are quoting John 3 through their baptisms this morning. They're all saying, hey, I had to be born again. I had to be born of the Spirit of God. Like, yeah, I was physically born, but at some point, Jesus had to come into my life, and I had to be born of the Spirit, and they were, and now we're celebrating with them today, and it's a big deal. And so, y'all, there is no spiritual fruit. If you hear these sermons, you're thinking in your life, man, I don't see this like God-level stuff. I see a lot of worldly love and worldly joy and worldly peace. When circumstances change, I'm this, I'm that. Then we just want to ask this question, have I been born again? Right? Have I been born of the Spirit of God? So that's the first thing we can do. Guys, it's not hard. We make things way too churchy, y'all. It is as simple as a simple prayer. Jesus, come into my life and take control. That's it. Come into my life and take control. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life and take control. Pray that prayer. He will honor that. And the Bible says you will become a child of God. Okay? A second thing I want to challenge you to do, this whole series is meant to make you examine your life. All right? It's not to make you necessarily question whether or not you're a believer, but it's make you to say, if I don't see this fruit in my life, and at some point I put my faith and trust in Christ, then there's something wrong. And that's a sign that I am not walking as closely with Jesus as I need to. Right, so what do I need to do? It goes back to those four keys of a relationship with Jesus. I need to pray more. I need to read His Word more. I need to actually obey it more. I need to learn the Holy Spirit's tugging in my life and start to follow His lead. I've got to focus on those four keys to that relationship. That was the first sermon in the series. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to that. So we've got to examine our life. Number three, we need to make every effort to live at peace. That was the scripture we read, y'all. Make every effort to live at peace. That's the bar, Christians. Okay? I love you. We're about to enter into a political season. Okay? There's your bar. Right? How should I act? There's your bar. Are you making every effort to live at peace? Listen, first and foremost, with God, with others, am I making every effort to live out the gospel that I believe so that others can see Jesus working in me? Right? Am I making every effort every week to invite people to share God's stories, what God is doing in my life, to share the gospel if the Lord opens an opportunity? Am I making every effort? That's it. That is the bar. The bar's not, well, every once in a while. The bar is every effort. That's the bar. Okay? So start there. But then am I making every effort to be at peace with others? Right? Am I? I don't know, y'all. We love our opinions, don't we? Gosh, we love our opinions. Right? You know the saying, opinions are like things that smell, right? And we all have them. That's what opinions are like. Man, and we proclaim all this stuff that's not of the Lord. We make all that stuff most important. None of that stuff matters. That is not most important. That's not even secondary. It's not even secondary, right? And so we have to make every effort to live at peace. That's a big deal. Fourth, lastly, I want to challenge you to rest in the promises of God. To rest in the promises of God. I shared with you last week that the Bible says that God who begins a good work in you will bring it about to completion. God will keep working in you. He will do it. He will do it. As the Apostle Paul closes out his letter to the church in Philippi, he says this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And notice what happens next. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You catch that promise? If you abide in Jesus, you get the peace of God. And what is the peace of God like? How does it differ from the world? It is not based on circumstances at all. It is peace that passes all understanding. It is peace that when all craziness breaks loose in my life, and I should be freaking out going, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, that instead people look at me, and I'm like, man, this is hard, but God has a plan. God's got this, and I'm going to sit here with Him until I figure it out. It's a peace that passes all understanding. All right? Y'all, I'm going to pray for you. I am praying for you through this series. Remember, these messages are not meant to beat us up, but they're meant to reveal to us. If that peace is not active in our life, that's a symbol right? We need to abide with Christ. So I'm going to pray, and then I think Catherine's got a couple quick announcements, and then we're going to hear from Pastor John real quick. Father, thanks for loving us. Thank you for your word, which is good, endures forever. Father, help us. Help us learn from these students that so bravely stood up in our baptistry and proclaimed that they had found a relationship with you, that you'd sought them out, that you'd saved them. And we want the kind of peace that they have. So God, help us do that for every Christian that knows you but is struggling, that don't have peace. Just lovingly call them into that abiding relationship. Help them pray more. Help them study more. Help them obey more. God, we ask these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.